Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to River Cafe Table 4, a production of iHeart Radio and Atomize Studios.
Everyone knows Tracy Ullman as a brilliant woman who acts, sings, makes us laugh, produces, and directs work which makes us think differently about the world we live in. I'm lucky enough to know Tracy as all of the above, but also as a friend, a mother, and quite simply, the sweetest person ever. In a time of doubt and indecision, one of the best yeses I've ever had was when Tracy agreed to sing Our Love Is Here to Stay at the River Cafe 30th birthday party.
Our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, think I'm Rosemary Clooney, the Rockies may crumble. Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But, and I sang, I love is here to stay. I love the River Cafe.
Have you ever seen 1,500 people cry? As my guest, Tracy and I will talk about food and memories, life, work, family, and friendship. Two women, two friends, whose love is for sure, definitely here to stay.
Oh, Tracy.
Oh, I've gone all tingly.
Love you. Yeah, well, we're tingling.
So, likewise, after a very, very nice introduction.
It's so good to be with you. And you're going to read your favorite recipe, which is so interesting that you chose that recipe because it not everybody knows it. Many people haven't had it, and you chose it as yours. So would you like to read the recipe for agretti with tomato and pan grattato?
Okay. Shall I tell you why I chose it, or shall I read
everything.
The recipe?
You
and
can
then
do whatever
I just
you want.
Love this, and I've only ever had agretti at your restaurant. And then when I said I was going to read this, and I didn't know where agretti was from, and I wish I could find it, as I was talking to you, literally, I walked into a shop and found some. It's like samphire a little bit, isn't it? It's like asparagus.
Yeah, it is. It's river. It grows along the riverbank. You know, it has that grassy, grassy taste. And you always, you have it.
So it's very simple, but I like vegetables and I like Italian vegetables. And this is just a very, very simple thing, but it's just so you. And I love it. Agretti with tomato and pan grattato. Serve 6 to 8, or if I'm around, serves me. 600 grams of agretti, 1 stale ciabatta loaf, olive oil, slow-cooked tomato sauce. Snap off the bottom stalks from the agretti, just below the long leafy tops. Pulse chop the bread into breadcrumbs. Heat some olive oil in a frying pan and shallow fry the breadcrumbs until they are golden. Lift out with a slotted spoon and drain well on kitchen paper. Warm the tomato sauce. Blanch the agretti in a pan of rapidly boiling salted water for 3 minutes or until tender. Drain and dry on kitchen paper to remove all the excess water. Put the agretti on a plate and spoon over the tomato sauce. Sprinkle with the breadcrumbs and serve while warm. Delicious.
Delicious. Interesting that you chose this and you said you found it in your local shop, you know, and there it was and how food has changed. But did you grow up with Italian food?
My father, who sadly died when I was 6, was Polish. And so he liked lots of pickled things and soured creams. And he was always putting things under the sink and, you know, fermenting things and goose at Christmas and very complex sort of chocolate, coffee, nut torts at Christmas. That was that sort of food he liked. And my mother was a South London lady who was very simple food, always grew her own vegetables, and I grew my own vegetables, and I wasn't allowed sugar or fast food, and I didn't like it. And I would just run home from school and pick the spinach that we'd planted and radishes, and I liked greens. And she was a simple cook, but very good.
Because she was like, you know, wartime kid and dig for victory, you know, sort of worked on the land. And she just really liked good, simple food, my mother.
But your father died when you were six, which is very young. But you have a strong memory of him, as you say, pickles. And is that a strong association for you of your father with food and his cooking?
Yes, because it was unusual food. And when you're fermenting things under the kitchen sink, it's kind of strange when your friends come home and, you know, and he liked, you know, cucumber and dill and lemon. And I always remember he would make bigus and a kind of Polish sausage dish. It took ages to make. Everything in Poland takes days to make. It's very complex, slow-cooked stuff.
Was he born in Poland?
Kluskis, Platskis, you know, all sorts of... He was born in Poland. He came over during the war. He was at Dunkirk with the Free Polish Army and was one of the soldiers that was rescued and brought to England. And he never went back. And then he was a lawyer and an interpreter, and he had a business in Slough in England and near London. And he was very successful and worked too hard and sadly died very early. But yeah, he was quite a guy.
And it's interesting how I think people who have immigrated from other cultures or from countries, they remember those smells and the food of their family bringing their culture to this country and how much richer we are because of it.
Rye bread and of course, caviar. It was cheaper back then.
Did you have caviar?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when I first had a bit of money to spend, I would buy caviar. Yeah, I mean, I never did drugs or drink, girls. I was a caviar. I had like a $500 a week addiction. And now it's so expensive. Yeah. Back in the 80s, you could still get Iranian caviar. Yeah. And I love caviar. Yeah, I love caviar
too.
Yeah.
And did your mother, would she cook with you? Did you cook with her?
She was just, as I say, she wasn't fancy cook, just very simple, very plain.
But would you be in the kitchen?
We would like, for her and me, I'm still like this today, a meal for me is I'll buy mushrooms, watercress, radishes, I don't know, a piece of mozzarella and some strawberries, and that's a meal to me.
Did you go to restaurants ever?
No, couldn't afford it. You know, we'd have nice picnics in the park and just fresh things and growing our vegetables. And no, we never ate out. Mm. And then...
do you remember your first, when that kind of changed for you?
Yeah, I was 16. I left school at 16 and I went to Berlin as a dancer with a big group of wonderful, fun people. Mm-hmm. And we used to eat out because I lived in a room with two other girls. And for some reason, we used to go to an Italian restaurant in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, you know, have pizza funghi and spaghetti carbonara. And it was very, very good. Mm-hmm. And that was glamorous to me. Mm-hmm. And always have a bottle of Liebfrahmilch with Italian food. But I remember that, starting to eat out that way.
And as a dancer, did you find there's a discipline that you had to have to eating? Did you find that you could perform if you'd had a night out the night before, or that, you know...
We didn't eat till like 2 in the morning. This was crazy. We were like, we used to go out after the show and come get in at 10 in the morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were pretty wild, but we had a wonderful girl with us, a dancer called Sarah Brown, who went on to become a professional chef. I think she wrote books and had her own television programs here. Mm-hmm. And she used to cook for us. So we had this amazing woman cooking for us.
How long did you live there?
About 4 months, 5 months.
Right. And was that your first real trip away from home?
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, did you?
Berlin in the 70s. It was so sexy and fun and crazy and decadent, and I loved it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With summer fast approaching, life tends to get busy. Seeing family, friends, hosting dinners, barbecues, picnics in the park, and everything else that comes between. What's also important is that we find time for ourselves to rest and recharge. Therapy can be a vital tool to assist you with boundaries and managing your schedule in a way that helps you stay happy and healthy. If you're looking to find a new therapist or start therapy for the first time, BetterHelp is worth a try. It's entirely online, which makes it easy, accessible, and flexible with your schedule. Completing a short questionnaire will match you to the right licensed therapist for you. If it's not working, you can change for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Ruthie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ruthie.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Leaving home, do you remember your routine of sort of how you would work and then eat and cook or
I never really lived on my own. I met somebody I was engaged when I was quite young. But if I did eat on my own, which I did because I like this strange stuff, as I keep going back to, watercress, almonds, blueberries, even then just really simple sliced mushrooms, avocados. And it was hard getting avocados even. I used to stay with my friend in the East End and you'd say to the greengrocer there, hello, do you have an avocado? Nah, I'll get one of those at Christmas, love. Not much call for them. With some nice leeks. Nah, I was looking for an avocado, really. No leeks. No, avocados. Why, one weakness that everybody always sold in England, and they still do, is bird's eye chicken pie.
Oh, tell me about that.
I think they're about a pound, Ruthie.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's something about the short crust pastry. Yeah. People, so I know famous chefs, English chefs, talk about these bird's eye chicken pies, and they're delicious. Okay. There's nothing like one of those with some gravy on it and some Brussels sprouts when you're cold in November and you come home. I still like a bird's eye chicken pie, and that's the sort of, gosh, that's the craziest thing I eat. Normally I'm just very simple, organic, you know. Yeah. I guess my life started when I met my husband, Alan, who you knew, who sadly passed away a few years ago.
I did, what a man, yeah.
And he really just took me to fantastic places. He's took me to the Royal Crescent and Bath, you know, and we had lobsters and we used to love the Caprice. That room was wonderful, all those photographs and great food, interesting food. Places like the Horn of Plenty in Devon. Mm. There was always like people that had
what's her name? Woman chef, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'd go there and there'd be this wonderful old country house and a cat having kittens in the in the sort of front hallway. Mm. Oh, come in. And they'd say that, or we'd find places where they'd say things like, Daphne's a little nervous of her custards.
Custards?
Yes. She's been terribly nervous of her custards today. And you'd say, the custard's marvellous, Daphne. She'd say, oh, is it really? Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah. And then I went to live in LA with Alan. I really had lived in America for 30 years, and Los Angeles was terrible for food.
What was that like?
It was terrible. It was iceberg lettuce and burgers and, you know, just... Now it's wonderful. There's lots all sorts of organic markets and, you know, farmers markets. But in the 80s, it was terrible. It was like Vegas food. And New York, too.
Yeah.
It was like they'd have Italian food. You want red, you want white sauce, you want clams, you like eggplant. What do you want, darling? You want an eggplant, Parmesan... but now, I mean, of course, was, you know, now food is wonderful. But yeah, it was all very, like, you know, heavy sauces.
But when you went to LA, were you working? What were you doing?
Oh,
what
yes. Well, I was pregnant. And I had my daughter Mabel in 86. And then I did television shows for a long time. And I would always spend the summers here and couldn't wait to get to... We used to go to Sardinia a lot when the kids were small because the Italians just love children.
Mm. What about when you go to a restaurant with somebody? What do you look for in a restaurant? What do you like about a restaurant?
I don't eat out a lot, really. My daughter's a wonderful cook and her husband Harry make wonderful things.
What do they make?
They're all sorts. He'll make the best gazpacho in the world.
Oh, what's it
It'll
like?
Take him hours and there'll only be two cups and you go... Harry, I could just eat this forever. Yeah. My daughter's neighbour is Simon Hopkinson. And to have Simon Hoppy knock on your door and give you some salmon pate and some gazpacho and some rhubarb crumble, we get very spoilt by him.
You are very loved in the River Cafe because you form relationships. I've seen you. I've seen the way you are, you know, with the waiter, the way you have
You don't need to be their friend, but you are respectful and you're kind.
But there's some, you've got some wonderful staff that I've known over the years. And I like Bassam. I like teasing him about his trousers. Because he wears pink trousers, he wears yellow trousers. And I always say, you wear raspberry trousers, Bassam. You know. Yeah. And a gilet. And start jumping around to Coldplay records. Yeah. You're going to get a slap, you know. And we just do silly things. Yeah. And, I knew Rose.
Yeah, tell me about
your wonderful late great partner. I met Rose Gray in New York in the 80s. And I remember going to Nell's Campbell, who's a friend of mine, the Australian knocker, her nightclub. And about 3 a.m, she said, "Darling, let's get Rose. Are you hungry?" And you'd think, 3 a.m, but yes, of course I am, Nell. Let's get this wonderful lady's going to make us something to eat. And Rose was so quiet. And she started bringing out these little samples of things that were so divine. I'm like, wow, Rose is amazing. And we just all sat and talked and, you know, were saying those things like, you should have your own restaurant. Yeah. You're brilliant. And then she went on to meet you.
Yeah, she did. That's how it all started. Yeah. She was with Nell and at Nell's in New York. And then when Rose decided to come back, that's when we started the River Cafe. I called her up and said, "I think there's this little site in the middle of nowhere. Should we go have a look?" And we did, and the rest is kind of history. So we did that.
She was just brilliant. Didn't have an ego. I mean, there must be a lot of egos in the food business.
I think that when I came into this profession, people warned me that it would be competitive, that people would be, other chefs would be resentful, that we were two women who didn't know very much, that we'd started from scratch, as it were. And I found it so kind and inclusive. And the people, I think the people who were starting then, the Jeremy Kings, the Sally Clarks, the Rolly Lees, the Simon Hopkinsons, were of a different, we wanted to say, we can do great food, we can do great atmosphere, and we can be respectful. You know, the idea of the old-fashioned chef was kind of something we did not want to be. And then when Rose died in 2010, it was staggering to see the support that I had, you know, that suddenly a chef would arrive and, you know, say, "Do you have time for a coffee?" Or a manager would come and say, "Let's sit outside and have a drink." And somebody's accounts manager would say, "Do you need some help?" Or Giorgio Locatelli, Jeremy King would say, "Do you need a recipe?" I mean, it was very, very supportive. So I think it hasn't been my experience of ego, you know, I'm sure it's there. But if you surround yourself, I'm sure it's the same thing in the theater. Mm. It's who you become friends with.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Tell me about what you're working on. What is your next project?
Well, I've had some nice things to do the last few years. I did the Mrs. America with Cate Blanchett that was on FX.
Yes.
And that was all about, I played Betty Friedan, which is a wonderful person to get to be, a sort of iconic American feminist. And I loved doing that. I was in Canada for like 10 months doing that. It was a long shoot. Oh. So I spent a long time there. And then, then this whole lockdown thing happened. I'm not doing my shows at the moment. I'm 61 now, you know. I just, not that I'm old or anything.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to do stuff that I want to do.
Yeah.
I always see what comes up, you know. I love being in London more, near my daughter and my grandchildren. And I had a long marriage. I was married 30 years. My husband died 7 years ago now. And that was really hard to become
someone I'm, you know, I didn't want to become, really. I mean, I liked the version I could be of myself with him. You saw him many times, Alan. And we had a wonderful life together and we worked together. And I've had to really adjust to being another version of myself. But I'm doing good.
You're doing good.
And I'm happy, and he'd be happy.
He would.
He loved his food.
Yeah, he did.
Alan loved his food.
I remember. I can close my eyes and see him right now.
Yes. He loved it here, and we came here with the children when they were tiny, and they used to roll around while we were eating our food. It was always so great to bring the kids here. Mabel had her 30th birthday here.
You know, I think back to that birthday when you sang, and there are two things we can do. I would love you to tell me about your comfort food when you think of Alan, or you feel somehow less than hungry, when you sometimes just need that bit of comfort. Is there a food that you would turn to?
Well, I do like my chicken pie, my bird's eye chicken pie. Mind you, I haven't had one of those in a while. What's my comfort food? I love chocolate. I love really good 80% chocolate. But it has to be in the freezer. I put my chocolate in the freezer and I break off one square every day. And I think it's very good for female brains. Yeah. And I can eat a piece of dark chocolate, and then I can write and write.
Okay. Well, that's a beautiful answer. Why, you know,
I love chocolate nemesis.
You're
here.
A woman. Oh, the chocolate nemesis. So we can get
the word is so right funny. Now. Mabel always goes nemesis, and everything goes like a Martin Scorsese film. You know, when they're taking drugs in Goodfellas, nemesis. See, that's ridiculous.
Thank you, Tracy. The other thing we could do before we say goodbye and go have a piece of chocolate nemesis is to sing a song. And would you like to sing your song?
I think our listeners should know. I had a very, very brief career as a pop singer in the early 80s. I had a wonderful song called They Don't Know About Us, written by the late, great Kirsty MacColl. And so I sing sort of like Minnie Mouse, having taken helium.
Voice.
I know, you were so sweet. And you rang me up and you said for your 30th, and I said, would I sing? And I thought, why would Ruth ask me to sing? And I was so flattered. And I said, what shall I sing? And you went, do you know the song I like? And you were on the phone. You went, it's very clear. Our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But, oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But, and I say, our love is here to stay. I love the River Cafe.
And we love you, Tracy Ullman.
I love you.
Thank you.
Very much. So lovely to do this in person.
This holiday season, if you can't come to the River Cafe, the River Cafe will come to you. Our beautiful gift boxes are full of ingredients we cook with and design objects we have in our homes. River Cafe olive oil, Tuscan chocolates, Venetian glasses, a Florentine Christmas cake made in our pastry kitchen, and more. We ship them everywhere. To find out more or to place your order, visit shoptherivercafe.co.uk.
River Cafe Table 4 is a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.